Okay. Yeah, good to see you here. Our first gathering of 2019. So the story of Jonah is one that most of us have heard, maybe in Sunday school. If you do know the story, what's the first thing we think of? It's got to be the great fish that comes and swallows Jonah, isn't it? Yet, as we'll see, the fish is actually a really small part of the story, and the writer doesn't embellish the description of it, so we're not meant to get distracted by the fish. I'm really excited about this series on Jonah. We'll look at it chapter by chapter over the next 4 weeks, and it's a great book. Often it gets dismissed as just this fable about a guy getting swallowed by a fish, but there's so much more to it than that. It's full of humour and irony and characters who act in the opposite way to what you'd expect. The book of Jonah is unlike the other accounts of prophets in the Bible. It begins in the usual way, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, but it's unique because it doesn't focus on the words of the prophet, but it's actually a story about a prophet. And one of the overarching themes of Jonah is the way it displays God's heart for the nations, for all people, and his call for us to share in his mission. It's a great way to start the new year, setting our eyes on God, remembering his compassion and mercy, and the call that he has given us to be part of his mission in the world. So as we get into it, let me pray for us again. Father, would you be speaking to us this morning? Thank you for these words that we've heard in Jonah. Would you open our eyes to see you? Would you open our hearts to receive you? Would you open our ears to hear you? Please challenge us, encourage us, and change us that we may live faithfully for you. Amen. One of my favourite TV shows is Hornblower. I don't know if you've seen it, but set in the late 18th century, it's about Horatio Hornblower, a courageous and admirable sailor in the British Navy. In one episode, Hornblower is taking his exam to become a lieutenant, and he's failing badly in front of three senior naval commanders. But then the exam is interrupted by a ship on fire that has drifted into the port, an enemy tactic of the day. And it's at this moment that Hornblower rushes down to the port with the naval commanders, boards the fire ship, changes its course, and averts the danger. Now, in such a dire situation, Hornblower could have run away from the commanders, but aspiring to become a high-ranking naval officer, he chose to go with them. He knew what was required in such a role, and he believed he had what it took to bear the responsibility. His actions in this circumstance reflected this, revealing his character of bravery and leadership, all the vital qualities of a naval officer. Now, in contrast to Horatio Hornblower, in the first chapter of Jonah, we see Jonah try to run away from God, neglecting the mission God has called him to. We see Jonah's heart is revealed when his actions don't match up to what he claims to believe. And in light of this, I want us to look at ourselves. Do our lives match up with what we claim to believe? So firstly, Jonah tries to run away from God. God calls Jonah on a mission. In verse 1, we see the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, there are three things that make this mission quite irrational, almost absurd. It's a questionable call to a questionable mission for a questionable prophet. Firstly, God calls Jonah, a Hebrew prophet, to leave Israel and go to a Gentile city. Now, normally God's prophets were only sent to God's people, Israel. But here we see God sending Jonah to a foreign nation. Next, the mission is completely crazy. God wants Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Assyria was a cruel and barbaric empire known as one of the most violent and bloodthirsty of ancient times. They would torture and decapitate their enemies, burn people alive, and subject any survivors to brutal forms of slavery. They had invaded and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. So they were Israel's bitter enemy. And God is sending Jonah there? What's going on? Now, Jonah is called to preach against it because of its wickedness. But
Surely God would only want this message proclaimed if there was a chance of him relenting from his judgment on them, which seems ridiculous. How could God be merciful to such an evil nation? And thirdly, God picks an unlikely prophet for this unheard-of mission. Who is this Jonah, son of Amittai? Well, the only other mention he gets in the Bible is in 2 Kings chapter 14. Here we read that Jonah supported Israel's King Jeroboam II. He was a king who did evil and turned away from God. This is in contrast to two other prophets who preached against this king. So we can infer from this that Jonah was most concerned with the advancement of Israel's power rather than obeying God. He was strongly patriotic, somewhat of a nationalist. So it's hard to believe that God would send someone like this to Israel's sworn enemy. And what does Jonah do in response? He runs away. Instead of going east to Nineveh, he flees in the opposite direction, west to Tarshish. He heads down to the port and boards a ship to try and escape from the Lord. That's ludicrous, isn't it? Why does he run? We're not told yet. All we know is that Jonah is extremely reluctant to go on this mission to which he's been called by God. Secondly, we see that Jonah's heart is exposed through his actions. So Jonah sets off on this voyage in the opposite direction to where he's supposed to go. And he ends up on a ship of pagan sailors. Now, this is extremely ironic given that he was trying to avoid his mission to preach to a pagan city. Here he is, surrounded by pagan sailors. And then we see what happens next shows that God is angry with Jonah. He sends a great wind on the sea so that a huge storm erupts. It's a serious storm. These would have been experienced sailors, and they're frightened. They cry out to their own gods, seemingly recognizing that this wasn't an ordinary storm. And Jonah, in contrast, has gone down below deck and fallen asleep. Now, it's interesting if we compare the reaction of Jonah to the reaction of the sailors. While the pagan sailors recognize this storm as having divine origin and calling out to their gods, Jonah, a prophet, remains silent before his God. While the pagan sailors are trying to act to save the ship and to save everyone on the ship, Jonah's down below having a nap. This disobedient prophet continues to try to run from God by just ignoring the situation. Doesn't acknowledge God's presence. And Jonah's true heart is further exposed when the captain comes to wake him up. He says, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." How ironic is this? There's this pagan sailor telling Jonah to cry out to the Lord. God sent Jonah to point pagans to himself. But here we see a pagan pointing Jonah, God's own prophet, to God. Then the sailors cast lots to find out who the culprit of the storm is. And surprise, surprise, it's Jonah. And they question him, further revealing his heart. They ask, "Who is responsible for this trouble? What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you?" Now Jonah answers by firstly saying he's a Hebrew. Again, this is Jonah's nationalism on display. He lists this first as his identity before anything else. And then he says that he worships the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land. More irony. Jonah claims to worship the God who made the sea and the land, and here he is out at sea trying to run away from him. He claims to worship the Lord, Yahweh, the God of heaven, yet his heart has been revealed as being cold and resistant towards God and God's mission for him. The sailors ask Jonah what they should do, and he tells them to throw him into the sea. But Jonah isn't really repentant. What may appear like a selfless act, that he's willing to die for the sailors, still seems tainted by the fact that He doesn't really mention God at all, and it's quite likely he's just looking for another escape from the mission God's called him to. He keeps running from God. Now, the sailors don't want to throw Jonah into the sea, but the storm's too rough. So they decide to throw Jonah overboard. But in the midst of that, they recognize God and their actions before him, not wanting to kill his prophet. Again, we see the opposite of what we'd expect. The pagan sailors respond to the reality of the situation more than Jonah. Instead of Jonah calling out to God, it's the sailors who acknowledge the Lord and call out to him for mercy. While Jonah doesn't mention God or turn to him, these sailors refer to God as Yahweh, the personal Hebrew name for God. They actually realize that the Lord is powerful, that he's in control, and he can rescue them. The honorable actions of these pagan sailors exposes Jonah's heart. So Jonah is thrown overboard and the storm dies down. And now verse 17, the moment you've all been waiting for, enter the great fish. But God is not finished with Jonah. God could have let him drown as a rebellious, proud, and graceless prophet. But God has more in store. So he sends this great fish to swallow Jonah, rescuing him from a watery grave. But more on that next week. Thirdly, the ultimate prophet who obeyed God. Jonah shows himself to be disobedient and defiant towards God. However, the book of Jonah points forward to another prophet sent by God, the ultimate prophet, who is completely obedient to God. That is Jesus. In Matthew 12, Jesus talks about himself as the one greater than Jonah. Jesus came from God into the world to seek and save the lost. This was his mission, to reveal God to those who don't know him and are living in darkness, and to rescue them through his death and resurrection. He was cut off from God himself in his death for us on the cross, so that we who are cut off from God can be united with him forever and know the eternal joy the joy of eternal life through Jesus' resurrection. Jesus lived for this mission, and he died for this mission, to seek and save the lost. And that's what God was calling Jonah to share that message to the lost, what God wanted them to know. So while Jonah was disobedient in his mission to the lost, Jesus was obedient to God's purposes for him. While Jonah doubted God's plans and acted selfishly, Jesus trusted God and sought his will above his own. While Jonah ran away from the people he was meant to reach out to, Jesus put himself in the very hands of those who would kill him, sacrificing himself for those very people who were far from God. While Jonah's actions were inconsistent with his beliefs, Jesus backed up his claims by giving his life. Lastly, God calls all of us to be part of his mission to the nations. God has made us in his image, to reflect him, to share his heart. And this includes sharing his heart for the lost, and to join him on his mission in the world. God made people to know him, to know true life in him. And God is at work throughout the world to bring people to himself. He uses us, his people, to be part of that work. So if you're trusting in God, if you're part of his people, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is what you're called to. This is our mission. So where are you at with that? Is your life shaped by God's mission? Jonah was clearly reluctant in evangelism, He didn't like the mission God had for him. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, to those people. He didn't want to share God's message of good news. Are you like Jonah? Are you resisting God's call to share the message about Jesus with others? If so, why is that? Now, I know evangelism is something many of us find hard. We struggle to share the good news about Jesus with those around us. There may be a number of reasons for that. You might lack confidence. You might not know what to say. You might be embarrassed about the message. You might be worried about offending people or worried about being made fun of. And I also want us to think about beyond just evangelism, but about mission too. That is how our whole lives are involved in reaching the lost. Our words are important, but so are our lives. Who we interact with, how we shape our weeks. So what holds you back from being involved in mission? Maybe you don't feel equipped. Maybe you don't know how to do it. If so, let's ask God to equip us. And let's think seriously about the steps we can take to grow in this. Maybe you're too busy. You feel like, well, I just don't really have the time. Is that a good reason? Or is that an excuse? If mission is what God calls us to, it ought to be a priority. And I'm not suggesting that we have to quit our jobs or ignore existing relationships or anything like that. But rather, I want us to think about how we can view our whole lives as mission and integrate those things into it. Or maybe you think that, well, mission's someone else's job. Ben will do it. The gospel community leaders will do it. I can just sit back. No. We're all part of the church. We're all part of the body of Christ, so we're all called to mission. And we each play an important role in it. We need each other. So let's not just leave it up to a few. These are all very real things that we need to think through. And most importantly, to ask God's Spirit to grow us in. So will we spend time considering these things? What is it that holds you back? What are you going to do about it? Let's learn from each other and with each other and encourage each other to grow in this area. And above all, in all of this, we must have prayer as our foundation. Jonah's actions revealed his heart. By running from God, he showed he wasn't interested in the mission God had given him. What do your actions reveal about your heart? We see that Jonah knows the right doctrine. In verse 9, he talks about the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land, and he believes in this God. But his claim to worship the Lord is shallow when we look at his life. His actions don't match what he's claiming to believe. I wonder if ours do. If we claim to follow Jesus, if we claim to be God's people, part of that is responding to God's call to mission with obedience. Now, if we find ourselves struggling to do that or not wanting to do that, we have to examine our hearts. Let's do that today. Let's ask God to reveal our hearts, to show us what's holding us back, and to change us by his Spirit to be people who respond to his call to mission. Jesus didn't run away from his mission to rescue us. So let's not run away from being part of his mission to rescue others. And even in all our reluctance and disobedience, God still remains faithful. He can still work through us, even as he worked through Jonah, despite him running away. Now, that's not a license to be disobedient, but it does mean we can trust in the power and grace of God. These are hard things to think through. But as Christians, we really need to ask these questions and to let God use us and to allow him to shape our whole lives. This is not meant to discourage us, to make us feel bad that, oh, I haven't been on mission. I really struggle with that. But rather, it's to help us to think through seriously these things so that we can grow as God's people in being witnesses to the world. So I want to encourage you not to feel down about what you've struggled with, but to, in light of that, come to God and ask him to help you, to reshape your thinking, to empower you and to equip you so that you can serve him in this world. Eric Liddell was a famous athlete. He's portrayed in the movie Chariots of Fire. He won a gold medal in the 400 metres in the 1924 Paris Olympics. But the following year, Eric decided to go to China to live and work as a missionary. At the age of 23, he traded the glory and fame of athletics for the challenges and harsh environment of China. Eric felt that's what God was calling him to do, so he obeyed. And prior to leaving, he gave a farewell speech, and in that he said, 2 years ago, I was faced with the biggest problem of my life. I had been asked to assist an evangelistic campaign in Armidale, but at the time had never addressed a public gathering. I was very reluctant about accepting the invitation. The morning after being invited, I received a letter from my sister in China, and it contained this text: "Fear not, for I am with thee. Do not dismay, for I will guide thee." Those words helped me make that decision, and since then I have endeavoured to do the work of my master. So in light of this, we can be bold and courageous in all that God calls us to. We only need to be humble and willing, allowing him to use us and asking his spirit for help. God did great things through Jonah. He wants to do great things through us. Now, it doesn't mean we all necessarily have to go to China like Eric Liddell did, or somewhere else overseas. God might call some of us to that. But it does mean we need to be serious in responding to God's call to mission wherever we are and living lives that reflect what we believe. So let's make 2019 a year where we let God work in us and through us to bring people to himself. Let's pray. Lord God, you are the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. You have made us, and we are your people. Thank you for rescuing us, for bringing us out of darkness and into your light. Thank you for sending Jesus, the ultimate prophet, who perfectly obeyed you, who sought your will, and in doing so sacrificed himself to bring us to you. Thank you that we can know and experience this new life in you, and that we have the eternal hope of being with you forever in heaven. Lord, in response to that, would you empower us to be bold in being part of your mission? Lord, Jesus came into the world to seek and save the lost, and as his people, that's what we're called to as well. Help us to think through these things, the things that we struggle with, the reasons we're reluctant to be on mission or to be involved in evangelism. Help us to think seriously about those things. Pray that you would reveal our hearts as you revealed Jonah's heart. Lord, would you equip us with everything we need to be faithful witnesses? Would you empower us by your spirit to be bold, to know the importance of the message that we carry, and to have a heart like you to share that with the lost. Lord, would you fix our eyes on you as we walk through 2019, that we would be faithful in following you, in obeying your call on our lives, and in doing so, would you bear great fruit for your kingdom, that more and more people would hear the message of good news that you have in Jesus, and that you would change them through that. Amen.